It's of good ale to you I'll sing, and to good ale I'll always cling. I like me mug filled to the brim, and I'll drink all
hey,
you like
Dan,
to
bring. Hey, this is Dan, and I'm here with our two classic BeerCast buddies, Mike and Colton. How are we doing today?
Doing good, man. Long time no cast.
Yeah, it's about time for some beer.
Yeah, been looking forward to this. It's been a few months. So, so today's beer cast is being run by Colton. He picked the beers. He knows the notes. He just poured us our very first beer of the day. I actually don't even know the theme of this. Is it a secret, or can you tell us the theme?
I will reveal the theme after beer number one.
So okay. This is a throwback beer cast then, because Colton's picking all the beers, and we're totally in the dark.
Yep.
And it's going to be an embarrassment.
Yeah, we'll see how it goes. I'm really excited for you to call something a triple.
It's going to happen. I might lead off with a triple.
All right, I guess let's take a sniff and a taste here.
Yeah, why don't you guys go for it? Well, they are sniffing and sampling the first beer. I'd like to note that we are recording this on April 23rd. It is 2016, which means today happens to be the 500th anniversary of the Rheinheitsgebot, or Rheinheitsgebot for you Anglo-Saxons, the German beer purity law that started it all. What do you guys think? Well, who wants to go first? Do we flip a coin, or...
I mean,
someone ready to attack.
I can go first, sure. Right. And I am going to need a follow-up on that, actually. So can you just remind us what the German purity law is?
So the beer purity law, like I said, past early 1500s, said that it was only beer if it had barley, hops, water, and nothing else. Nothing else. This law is not any longer in full effect. So, like, wheat beers can be sold in Germany. Beer with fruit in it can be sold in Germany. But for... really, like 450 years, I think it was the law, and barley, hops, and water, period, or else it's not beer legally.
What would happen if you violated the beer purity laws?
You just couldn't label it as beer for sale.
Oh,
or you go to beer prison.
That's what I was hoping, that there was a beer prison.
But it wasn't just the law, it was also like ingrained in the culture, right? People would like, that's not beer. You put fruit in it, that's not beer.
Right, so if you brought a summer shandy to somebody... they like punch
slap you,
in the
you
face.
Across the face.
Yeah.
Yeah. And now, at the risk of delaying the notes by just a second, real quick review. We'll probably score each of you out of 10 points on each beer's tasting notes. And then we'll throw up a bonus point for who's closer on ABV and a bonus point for who's closer on IBU.
Ooh.
It is not Price is Right scoring. We're just going for closest.
All right.
Okay.
IBUs.
IBU, that's different. So I guess I'm going first. There's not much nose to this. It's a reddish, fairly clear. Actually, reddish isn't quite right. It's more of a orangish.
Yeah.
Yellow.
Like a brown.
Uh-huh. And it's very clear. Not much scent to it. It's not very bitter. I would call it malt forward, although I'm not entirely sure what that means. Yeah, I mean, that's... I like the flavor. It's not too strong in any direction. It's fairly subtle. What do you think, Mike?
Well, I think first of all, it kind of cracks me up that Colton gave us tasters that are all from the same Adams Brewery, and they all are Boston Lager tasters, because this beer actually reminds me quite a bit of, like, I don't know, like the Boston, I don't know if it's the Boston Lager, or it was maybe the Oktoberfest lager that they do or something like that, or is that an ale? I forget. But I think that might just be some of that, you know, your mind's playing tricks on you, because he passed it out in the Sam Adams sort of thing. So I'm looking at this, and that's immediately what my mind is going to. But
I haven't had enough lagers to be able to immediately tell you when something's a lager, but my
like
mind definitely went
sure.
that way.
It almost kind of reminds me of like a Yingling a little bit, too, at least in the color of it and everything.
Yeah, it's definitely not a Yingling. Yingling has like a distinct, almost... metallic-y taste to it.
Yeah, it's cheap.
Right, but...
Right. And this isn't cheap.
This has a little bit of subtlety to it.
No, I really like
it. It reminds
this beer.
Me of... I had... I forget the name. Is it... It's not Freedom. What's the name of the brewery that's in... I think it's in Pennsylvania that you really like.
Victory?
Victory, that's it, yeah. I knew it was some abstract concept.
I almost bought some Golden Monkey yesterday at the bottle shop.
Yeah.
It was staring me in the face.
But I had
you
their...
You weren't coming to the party, so I didn't get it.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
I had I think it's a Pilsner or a lager by them. Don't they have one that's pretty well known?
They have Prima Pils.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And this reminds me a little bit of that, in that it has some hints of like the, you know, cheap beers you can buy, but it's got a little more subtlety to it. So.
Yeah.
So let me ask you guys a question. On a scale from zero to great, how good is this beer?
I think it's, for the style, for this type of style, which I'm pretty sure it's a lager, it's, I like it a lot. I would say it's an 8 or a 9, actually. In fact, I was going to ask, well, when you get through the reveal, I might want to pick up some of this for tomorrow or something like that. Because I think most people who aren't beer drinkers, they like lagers, because they're a little bit lighter and everything. But this has some really good flavor for how clean it finishes. Like, I think you get, like, a lot of the strong, I guess Dan said malt forward, that's probably correct, malt forward, like, flavor notes, but it's not, like, it's a harsh finish at all. It, like, finishes, like, very clean, and you can just drink. So it's very consumable.
It's not adventurous at all. I mean, I try to, with my limited beer drinking appetite, where, you know, I'll have a drink of maybe one or two beers a few nights a week, I try to find something adventurous, and so I don't know if I would. I mean, if I were just hanging out with someone, this is very drinkable, but I don't know if I would pick it out as like a must drink. But I appreciate it's. I don't really have any complaints about its flavor.
Tough is like for the style. I don't know. Like,
yeah, for the
like
style.
American adjunct lagers, like your Budweisers and things like that, like those are very hard to find good ones. People just generally think that they're all kind of terrible. So I don't know. When you kind of get towards that, you know, sort of good to drink when cold, not so good otherwise types of beers, I feel like this is like one of the best ones I've maybe had in a while. So,
yeah, agreed.
All right, Dan, you're up first. ABV?
I will go 5.8.
Ooh. I'm definitely going to take the under, but I'll be you know, respectable in my guessing. So I'll just say 4.5.
0.5, and IBUs?
See, I don't have any calibrated, you know, meter in my head for this at all. So I'm going
to... Mike,
want me to give you like a little bit of just, like a baseline? Sure. And Colton, correct me if I'm wrong.
No, you're the one I would go to.
But like the threshold for when you start transitioning from like an IPA to like a double IPA is around 70.
Okay.
Right? Isn't that correct?
Again, you would know better than I.
Okay. I think that's right. I think when you get like kind of like well north of 70, like towards like 100, 110 kind of thing, that's like a double IPA. And then like an IPA is usually somewhere like around like a 70, like I think a 50 to 70 in terms of IBUs.
Mm-hmm.
So when you're tasting the bitterness, if you think it's like less than that, then that's how you would kind of scale.
Okay.
At least that's how
I'm
going to
go real low
it.
Then. I'm going to go 15 on the IBU.
Yeah, so I was going to say something around there too. I was actually going to say 15. I'll say 20.
All right. So the beer you have just consumed is the Vienna Lager from Devil's Backbone.
Ah.
I've had that before.
I was going to say, has either of you had this beer?
I have, absolutely.
Okay.
I had a really awkward situation at the Vienna Lager in the 930 Club, but that's another story for another time.
All right, that'll be in the post-show.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, so...
they just got bought by a big...
They did. Let's get into that in just a second. I'm gonna put a pin in that. ABV, 5.2%.
Oh, my gosh.
Which means Dan is off by 0.6.
No,
Mike is off by
0.7. I should have just taken the under.
IBUs, 18. Dan is off by 3. Mike is off by 2.
He evens out. Well played, sir.
We nailed
it. So played.
1-1. Tasting notes from the company. Amber in color with a subtle toasted caramel note and a smooth malty finish. Brewed using a combination of Northern Brewer and Saaz hops with Vienna, Pilsen, Dark Munich, and caramel malts. And allowing 5 weeks for the lagering process. Not too hard of a beer. And I liked starting off with this because, I mean, lager, good classic, like, baseline beer, something you can drink. You're both right that this is a very good beer. This is a highly awarded beer, so beer drinkers like it. It's a good selling beer, so normal people like it. And Dan was also right that this is not that adventurous. I'm going to give a tip of the hat to Mike, who was very clearly certain this was a lager. Well, I think Dan agreed. Mike was, like, on top of that, no doubt. So, tasting notes, not too bad. Let's go with, like, 7 for Dan and a 9 for Mike. That's generous. I'm going to take those both down one. 6 and 8. call it 6 and 8. I want to leave room for you guys to impress me.
Yeah, room for improvement, right.
Yeah. And without too much more to say on that, so here's the theme of today's BeerCast. I want to know if either of you has seen in stores or perhaps purchased the Devil's Backbone Adventure Pack.
I have not.
No.
I've not seen it in a store
either. What is that?
Excellent. So this is a sampler pack put out by Devil's Backbone. It has 6 different beers in it, and that's what we're tasting today. The Vienna Lager is one. The other 5 are collaboration brews.
Really?
Devil Backbone plus somebody. Different somebodies for the other 5.
I haven't had those for sure.
Okay. So I have a backup 6-pack. If someone was like, yeah, I've got an adventure pack at home right now, then I was going to audible everything into a complete like mishmash of nonsense. But since this
really
is queer,
well prepared, Cole.
Since this is queer, we're just going to taste the adventure pack from Devil's Backbone. And now to come back to what Dan said, I find this interesting because I planned this and picked this pack up like a month ago. And in the last week or two, Devil's Backbone announced that they've been bought up by Anheuser-Busch. So now they are sellouts, but what we have is a product of pre-sellout Devil's Backbone, perhaps their last major product.
Tastes
final
like
vintage.
Yeah.
Exactly. This is the eulogy to their credibility and honor.
Tastes like America and not Sweden or whoever owns those people these days. Shoot.
So with that lead-in, I will go set you up with beer number 2.
All right.
Beer number 2.
All right, and since color and clarity are pretty easy, I'll try to go through those while they taste. This is a pale beer, and it is not quite crystal clear, but I think that's more the fog on the glass than anything in there. It's pretty much see-through clear beer. You could hardly tell it apart. It might be just a shade darker than a Miller Lite, but otherwise.
Yeah, it's very fragrant, I thought. Sniffing
super floral.
Yeah. I have 2 thoughts on this, and I'm not sure if maybe it's like a blend of styles or not. It's definitely, this is, like, we were talking about how the other one had a clean finish that we just tasted. And so it's the, I'd say, like, the opposite of that. It really lingers with you. In fact, like, it's not that bitter on the initial taste, like, when it first hits your tongue, but then it hangs around in your mouth for, you know, 5 Mississippi kind of thing. Like, yeah, I've still got it and everything. It's got, I actually really do enjoy the flavor, though. It's a tasty beer. I don't want to talk too much about, like, ABV and stuff yet, but I would imagine that this is actually pretty low down. I would say it's not, I don't think it's a very high alcohol content beer. I think it's got a lot of beer flavor to it, so I guess I would say it's, like, hop forward from the bitterness. And I would probably say this is an American pale ale, is what I would decide. But I also get, this is what I was saying, I'm wondering if there's like a little bit of a twist to it or a blend. I almost get some Pilsner flavor, I think, in it too. So those are like the 2 things that strike through to me, is like a almost like a European Pilsner style like flavor, almost like a Peroni, I guess. I just had a Peroni the other day, and it's like, you know, that's your standard dishwater kind of freaking beer, but it reminds me, like, it's got like a little bit of that flavor in the bitterness, but I would say it's a pale ale. I'd say it's probably like an American pale ale.
Absolutely a pale ale. I mean, you can, just looking at it, smelling it, you know you got yourself a classic American pale ale here. And I would say I actually really like this beer. I think it's fantastic. It's some things, the bitterness, you need a good blend of bitterness and flavor, and this has just the right amount of bitterness to make you really taste the hops.
Yeah.
And the hops are really striking. I mean, normally when you think hoppy, you just think bitter. I mean, if you don't know that much about beer, maybe, but you think hoppy, you think bitter, and this one is bitter like an IPA. I don't know if it's an IPA, but it's definitely a pale ale. But you just get an immense amount of the floral flavor of the hops in there, and it's I like it a lot. It's good.
What I think is really interesting is that it's not overly bitter.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, you get like a ton of hop flavor, like you were saying, but it doesn't just like crush you. Like, you still get all the other complexities of the beer. I'm actually really impressed with this one. I don't know, because it's a little bit different than I've had. Like this one beer in Colorado called like Incredible Petal IPA, and that's what this reminds me of more than anything.
Yeah.
But I think this is another hit.
Yeah,
for Devil's Backbone.
And I think you nailed the flavor profile, is that it doesn't strike you with an immediate bitterness. It's not like Kapow, but the hoppiness really lingers on your tongue and stays there. I mean, I just had a sip and it's Yeah, yeah. Even as I'm talking, I can still taste it. So,
ABV.
I'm going to go with a 5.2.
6.0.
IBUs?
65.
I was thinking, before you said that, 60. So, we'll see how it goes.
60. Okay. So, this is a collaboration between Devil's Backbone and Sun King Brewing Company.
Never heard of them.
Neither have I, and I'd have to check the bottle. I don't actually know where they're located. The name of the beer is Another State of Kind. We've got 6.8 on the ABV.
Shoot, I was wrong on that.
We've got 6D8 on IBUs.
Hey, I was really close on the IBU. I said 65.
Nice. Yeah, that's real good. Nailed it. Now, this is a little weird, and y'all can tell me from your tasting if you agree with this. They call it a double dank cream style ale. Pale in color and loaded with Simcoe and Columbus hops, this beer is an unlikely marriage of a cream ale and a double IPA.
Well, by definition, it's not a double IPA. Can I throw that out there? Because pretty much by definition for a double IPA to be a double IPA, like we were just saying, it has to be the bare minimum of 70 IBUs, which it doesn't hit. And it has to be over, well, it doesn't have to be. I'm saying, but generally consider the style, it has to be over a 7% alcohol by volume. So it doesn't hit either of those thresholds.
But if it's a blend of two things, it's just kind of weird.
That's a good point.
I mean, it's kind of silly because the point of the kind of made-up term double IPA or imperial IPA is that it's like a really strong IPA. And if you're diluting a really strong...
Exactly.
Is that
that's
really
exactly what I'm
like
saying.
Based off
so
of
right.
a really
if
strong IPA?
If it is
IPA,
a blend, that explains why it gets brought down. But right, it's not really a double IPA anymore. I kind of knew that it was a blend of something, because something seemed a little bit off, but a cream ale, I mean...
I don't know what that is.
No, I've had like a Genesee cream ale, which is horrible. Never drink it. It's super cheap, though. If you ever go to upstate New York, they sell like Jenny Light and Genesee cream ale and stuff like that. That's the only cream ale I've ever had, and I mean, it was atrocious. So, I don't know really what makes up a cream ale. I don't know what that tastes like. What's the, like, what the flavor notes are that go with the cream ale?
Yeah. I couldn't tell you, but it's interesting, the double dank is what they called it. I went to a brewery in Austin, and now I can't... It's, like, called Hops and Grains, or it's got some name that's kind of like that, that's describing components of a beer or something. And
head and body.
It's right, it's something like that. And they have...
Water Malt Hops Brewing Company.
They have hops that they take pride in as calling dank, and that, like... reminds you of marijuana flavor or something like that. And so, but this flavor actually reminds me of the beers that they had that they described as their dank ales. So I can see why they use that term, actually, now that I hear it.
This might be kind of a niche style, because I have not got a lot of experience with cream ales, and I don't even know if that's supposed to reflect the mouthfeel or the flavor or both. I'm not sure what a cream ale is supposed to be going for. In any case, I give Mike a lot of points here because he several times said, this seems like a blend of two things, a blend of something
and
a pale
ale. Yeah, he nailed that, yeah.
I'll give Dan a little bit of credit, too, because Mike was on the American pale ale, and Dan leaned it towards IPA.
That's true.
And they call it a blend of a double IPA. Now, I don't think it's literally a blend. I think it's a recipe inspired by blending two things. But... like, you know, double IPA plus a cream ale averages out to an IPA, maybe?
Yeah, pretty much.
Know. So I think I'm actually going to score this the same as the last one. 6 for Dan, 8 for Mike. It's not exactly a runaway yet. I'll be happy to give wider point spreads if we need in the coming rounds, if you guys want to get
artificial,
extreme with right. your... guesses.
If I want to pull out the blue shell or something.
Yeah, you know,
we
can
pull out the blue shell.
Lightning round, the fifth beer is worth quadruple points. No, we'll see. But we will go on to the third beer. Beer number three. It's quite a different character walking into the bar.
Wow.
So this is just about as black as night. And you cannot see through it a lick. It is truly as if I have poured a glass of the midnight sky for these gentlemen.
Yeah, man.
And just about no head on it.
If you were part of the Night's Watch, this is what you would drink. This right here, man. This is some darkness.
don't get ahead of yourself. Dan is on the platform first.
Ooh.
Yeah, man, I have some thoughts on this.
This is strong, not necessarily in the sense of alcohol content, but like you have a sip of it and it just overwhelms your mouth with it's, I mean, obviously it's very dark and extra toasted in the malts, and it's, I mean, whether you want to call it, I don't think this is one of those tricky ones where it's like actually a black IPA or right. actually or whatever. This is like, I think, porter or...
Totally agree with you.
Yeah.
The porter slash stout yeah, kind of debate.
Right. But it's also not just a normal one. It really kind of hits you with a smoky...
Extra stout
porter. Yeah. It doesn't hold back. And there's not much nose to it, so I was kind of expecting something a little bit smoother than it was. But I don't know what else to say to it. It's not particularly coffee-ish. Sometimes yeah, they taste really coffee flavored.
It's not a ton of roasted malt. Like yeah. a lot of times when you see something that's this dark, they like burn that malt. Mm-hmm. You know, they lit it on fire and they threw it in a beer. I would say I got something out of the nose. I actually thought I got like a strong flavor or like scent. Yeah, it's a scent because you're smelling it.
Okay.
But raspberry is what came through to me.
Interesting.
And I have no idea if that's accurate or not, but that was the note that I got.
I can see why you're saying that now that I smell it. It's subtle. It's not you know, sometimes you smell something and you're like, whoa, that's orange. Right. Or, whoa, that's right. whatever. This would be a subtle nose for raspberry. But that's I see why you're saying that.
I'm not really a big fan of stouts in general, like as a style, because I feel like that they I like my first sip. I like my second sip a little bit less. And by the time I'm like on sip 4 or 5, I'm like, okay, I'm kind of done, you know, drinking this thing because it's almost like you're eating a meal. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like so heavy and everything. It's got a lot of flavor to it. What I'll say about this is I appreciate, I think it's pretty well balanced in the fact that the booziness isn't overpowering. I would imagine this has a pretty strong alcohol content, but it's not like super boozy on the note. Like, you're not getting, like, tequila notes or, like, rum notes right. or something like that that are, like, coming through. I think it's actually, like, pretty balanced. So it's more drinkable because it's not like you're taking shots every time you take a sip. Mm-hmm. So I like that about it. You got some sweetness, which you always right. sort of get in this sort of style. But, right, there's not, like, a lot of coffee flavor or, like, peanut butter flavor. Not a lot of that, which a lot of times I think you see in
yeah.
stouts these days that brewers are putting
out. I agree. It's probably pretty high ABV because... There's, like, a latent sweetness in it that's often right. associated with high yep. ABV. It reminds me of some cask, you know, barrel-aged beers that I've had. I'm not... So, you know what I'm behind? I'm going to go ahead and guess that this was something that was barrel-aged and then put into a bottle, which would be pretty uncommon for something you could buy at a grocery store. But I'm going to take that swing because it has, like, a almost a smoky woodiness, but it's not, like...
Right.
It's really brewed in. It's like something that's just kind of lingering in it yeah. a little bit.
And I guess the main like flavor note that I get would be like caramel more than anything, which is almost redundant because caramel is basically just sugar. It's basically just burned sugar. But
caramel is good though. I like that. That's it for this.
Yeah,
for this
I feel beer. Like that's what I would characterize that
that's
as.
That's actually excellent. Now I just had another sip.
I like taking swings. Dan said probably barrel aged. That does raise the question, what kind of barrel? Like, do you just mean that you get a wood flavor and you can't differentiate between different woods? Or do you mean, like, a barrel that used to have something in it? Or
no, I don't think it used to have a liquor in it. I definitely think there would be something there.
I don't know. If it was barrel-aged, I'd almost say I get, like, a little bit of, like rum.
Interesting.
A little bit of, like, a rum flavor from it. But, like, what I had said before was that I don't think that's overpowering. Like, a lot of times when you get something that's barrel-aged, like, you really yeah. taste that. You, like, really get the tequila or something like that. But, I don't know, the kind of sweetness that we're getting from right. this, that's what I usually associate with rum. So if I were to pick something out, that would be my guesstimate.
Yeah. I think it's just a generic wood, like a, probably not oak, I'm just, what are some of the other barrels they use?
You're yeah. right, you're saying it's more like you get the woodiness and, yeah, and exactly. that kind of like smokiness that's exactly. flavor than anything else. Yeah, mm-hmm. totally.
Dan.
Yeah.
ABV.
I will go 8.8.
I was going to say, all right, I'll take the over. I'll just say
8.9. 0.9 IBUs?
See, I don't know how to compare it with the darkness here. It's hard. I will say 55.
I'll say 40.
40. Okay. This one, for all you Asheville, North Carolina fans, a collaboration with Wicked Weed.
Oh, I love Wicked Weed.
The beer is called Seven Summits. Oh, man. Okay, I'll get back to that. So ABV is 10.5.
You went high, right, Mike? Yep. So you got it.
10.5? That's incredible that is, for how little booziness there is in that.
20 IBUs.
I don't... Boom. Like, how do you measure that with darkness, I guess?
It's the hoppiness? Right, it's the hoppiness that really drives more than anything. Okay. You got a taste for, I guess, like the bitterness and... Right. I don't know, try to scale it off of that IPA scale.
Here's a lightning round for you. It's called Seven Summits because it's brewed with seven ingredients, among the basic beer stuff, seven specialty ingredients that are inspired by the world's famed Seven Summits. Now, they've got a list here of seven specialty ingredients. So far, I've heard Nix on coffee, and I've heard Yay on raspberry. Would either of you guys like to throw out something else that might be in here?
I mean, if they put seven...
Some of these are not unusual for beer. Some of these are extraordinarily unusual for beer. So you can guess wherever you want in the spectrum.
So here's what I'm going to say. I'm not going to welch out of stuff, but I said raspberry. We were talking about coffee. I swear to God, if they put seven things in this freaking beer, somebody put some coffee in it. That's a guarantee. Even if that coffee-ness doesn't come through, I guarantee you they threw a couple freaking rounds in there or something, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Just because. And besides that, I don't know. Like, it's that's very strange because you don't get that much out of it. Tobacco, maybe? Something like that? They're from North Carolina collaboration? I don't know.
I'm going to say... Boy, I don't know why this just struck me, but I'm going to say mulberry they have in there.
Mulberry? Yeah. I like it. I have no idea what a mulberry tastes like.
So I don't either. I don't know why I thought that.
All right. Well, you both figured out it was a stout.
Okay.
That's about all I can give you. I cannot defend these connections for them, but for South America's Aconcagua Summit, coconut. For Africa's Kilimanjaro Summit, cocoa. For Antarctica's Vincent Summit, blue-green algae.
They put algae in this?
Wow.
For North America's Denali Summit, American oak. There's your barrel.
Nice, man. Well done.
For Asia's Everest Summit...
You said oak, too.
Pink Himalayan sea salt. For Europe's Elbrus Summit, black rye bread. And for Australia's Mount Kosciuszko, not a mountain climber here, Summit, wattle seeds. I don't know what wattle is.
So they picked seven things and they got no coffee?
So, no coffee.
Oh, man.
Oak is the only one we hit there. No berries of any kind. My apologies, gentlemen.
That was brutal.
So, I think I'm going to go 6 points to Dan, 5 points to Mike. Because, I mean, we got the booziness. You guys were pretty good on ABV and IBU, too.
Mike, you didn't call it algae. How did you not figure that out?
How did I not pick out the organism in the freaking beer?
That
we did taste that it was going to be high ABV. We just undershot it, even still.
All right.
I have to commend this beer for, like you said, being high ABV, but not
overpowering.
Exactly.
That's
it's not super boozy.
Right?
We did say it was strong, but I thought that was more in a flavor sense than a booze sense.
Right. I know. I mean, for a 10-point something, that's surprisingly well balanced,
right,
in my opinion. So yeah, props to them for sure.
And I don't know how they incorporated. They just list American oak in the ingredients, so to speak. They don't say whether it was barrel aged or oak was used some other way.
They just threw a tree in the frickin'
some hard
batch.
I like this one though. I've not had any of these before outside the Vienna Lager, and I like this one a lot. So, ready to move on?
Yeah, numero cuatro.
Yes, sir.
All right. Well, Dan and Mike qualified the first beer, the Vienna Lager, as everything from brown to yellow to pale to golden, and missed the word amber, which is so typical of a lager. This one I am going to call golden. This is a...
Brown is like a kind of amber.
Yeah.
You said orange, and I said brown. You put orange and brown together, you got yourself an amber.
And I respect a man who only has 8 crayons in his crayon box. I do. This one I'm going to call golden. It's pretty clear. It has a thin head to it that might have already gone away here.
Yeah.
And Mike is up first.
Do I have to be first?
Well, you can be second if you want, but then Dan's third.
Uh-oh. So then I would still have to
go you're still,
first.
Yeah.
I'm going to need a minute, because I really don't know what to make of this beer. I don't know if you got a clear read on it. Don't give away any tells. I mean, you can jump right into it.
Dan can have a bonus point if he takes first here.
No, I just need a second. I just want
some
time.
Go for it, Dan.
No, come on. Hey, let's settle down. I'm going to file.
You're stalling, Dan.
No, hold on.
Might go now. Hey. Or hold your peace.
Yeah, man, I got nothing. So, I would guess that this is an ale. I don't know, like a golden ale.
Definitely an ale.
Like you said. And, because it doesn't really taste like any lagers I've had. Besides that, I mean, it's got some bitterness to it, but I think it's got a complex flavor, and I think that's my problem. A lot of the ones we've had so far were actually pretty on style. You know what I mean? Like, even the blend, like, it had aspects of it where, like, okay, well, that is a hallmark spot of that type of style that's part of the blend. It's bitter. It's got an aroma to it. I would almost say that it's like a... Maybe there's some citrus, like a kind of like a citrus golden ale, hop forward. And give me one more taste, and I'll pass it over to Dan. Well, one more taste. That's all I got. Citrus, golden ale, hop forward. Dan, your go.
So I'm not a big fan of this one. Because to me, this is bitter without the good hoppy flavor. There might be some complexity there, but when I taste it, I actually don't really taste a lot of complexity. To me, it's just it's bitterness kind of hiding that there's not much else there.
I guess. If you're saying it's like a smoke screen, more or less. When I say that, I don't know. Keep going. I don't want to cut you off here, but I thought that was an interesting point.
At the back end, there's a little bit of some flavor. It reminds me of something I took home from Asheville, and now I can't for the life of me remember what style they called that beer. And it was a collaboration, so it wasn't just one brewery. So basically, I can't really tell you anything about the beer it reminds me of.
Yeah, so like to jump back in, like with the hoppiness of it and everything, I don't know. I mean, this comes across as a pale ale. That's how it comes across.
Yeah, it's a pale. It's not an IPA, though.
No, I don't know. I mean, some people call stuff IPAs so that isn't really an IPA, so maybe they'll call it an IPA. But yeah, I would just say it's like a pale ale, or like you said, golden. I mean, yeah, like a golden ale. It's just a hoppy ale. I think what you said, and I wanted to circle back to this, is that you said, like, you just think it's the bitterness kind of overcompensating for everything else. And in retrospect, I think that's a pretty accurate analysis, because when I said, like, complex, like, well, I can't pick out anything that really stands out in this beer. I think the reason why I couldn't pick out anything that stands out in the beer is that it's really bitter. And so the bitterness kind of masks everything else. You don't really get that much of the different flavor profile. So, I don't know, I thought that was a pretty astute observation.
I did not brew this beer, so I'm not docking any points if we don't like the beer. That's acceptable. I will dock points for Mike taking forever, but, you know.
Hey, you know, it's better to be thorough and really give that thing an honest, you know, assessment than it is to just be like, oh, I took a sip.
Unless you're being tested on a clock.
There's no clock. Where in the bylaws of BeerCast is there a clock?
Should there be a bylaws of BeerCast? Is that something we should make?
I believe the bylaws were submitted to you a week ahead of time.
If you dock me points, there's going to be a formal protest. That's going to really slow down the BeerCast.
Why don't you tell me the alcohol by volume content of this beer?
It is a 6.0.
I'm going to... Sorry, before... Well, I can say the ABV, and then I want to have one more comment on the taste.
Okay? By all means.
Okay, so you said 6.0.
Yep.
Ooh, that's like really close to what I was going to say. Because it reminds me of the IPAs that you think they might be boozy because they got a lot of bitterness, but end up not
being
boozy.
It's like actually a sessionable IPA, but it's just super bitter, right?
Oh, I'm actually tempted to go low on that. Like, I was thinking 5.8.
Comment?
I think on the tail end, there's like a hint of something weird, and it's like a weird grain. It's going to be defined by... It's not wheat, obviously, but they're going to... The
is
name
it a
of it,
rye IPA?
I don't think it's
that'd
rye
be
either.
Wild. I don't know. I didn't pick up much rye.
So, that's my prediction, is that there's... In the definition, there's some malt or grain that's
it's
weird.
It's a pretty amorphous prediction.
Okay,
look,
like not...
My prediction is there's going to be something. There's
not
something in the beer.
Yeah, that's true. Okay, so... I'll say oatmeal, but I don't think that's right, because that usually results in something creamier than this, like thicker than
that's
this.
That's a good point.
But it reminds me of beers I've had where they've said, like, oh, surprisingly for this light ale, we used oatmeal, or surprisingly for this light ale, we used blank. but like I'm trying to think what are some of the other options. I'm kind of running short.
Yeah.
It doesn't really remind me of rye. It's not wheat. So I guess I'll say oatmeal, but yeah. Okay, so we IBU next, is that right?
Yes, sir.
I'm going to go with a 70 on the nose.
I'll go with 60.
60. Okay. So from Devil's Backbone and Noda, N-O-D-A, Brewing Company.
It's a terrible name for a brewing company.
Noda.
It sounds like North Dakota or something.
The N and the D are capitalized, so it might be something like that. At 3.8%.
Oh my gosh.
And 60 IBU on the nose.
Is that what I said?
It is what you said.
There we go.
Wow.
So 3 bonus points for Dan this round. Oh yeah, by the way, on the nose is an extra point, just decided.
Oh snap, and just like that, protest. I'm losing.
This is their Session IPL.
It isn't. IPL?
India Pale Lager.
India Pale Lager.
Yep.
And the
Damn.
First thing out That's of Mike's exactly mouth was, this is an ale for sure. And the first thing Dan said was, this is definitely an ale.
No, I said, I think it's maybe an ale. And Dan
I said it's definitely
an ale.
So that you can put that worse on me. I also said it's not an IPA. So that's another point against me.
Well, no, it's not an IPA. And that's in true. Fact, now, to be fair, when Dan said at the end, there's something funny about it maybe in the grains, that's the closest either of you came to insinuating it was a lager. In principle, I'm just spitballing here. The fact that it's an IPL instead of an IPA probably means that the bitterness should have mellowed during the lagering process, and probably means that the thing should come off as more of a whole with fewer distinct notes and more of a blended flavor. That's my best guess. I don't know. This beer obviously did not impress us too much at the table. They say it is highly sessionable, hoppy, and crisp, brewed with Vienna malt. Brewed with oats.
Oh,
and a combination of Northern Brewer, Simcoe, and Azaka hops. No kidding.
Well,
Dan just, like, actually destroyed that one.
Well, I did say it was definitely an ale,
right.
So we
so,
can't take
I
too
mean,
much
there
credit.
I mean, there are pros and cons, but I'm just saying.
So
I was pretty good.
I was about to give Dan an 8. I think you guys have both been clear that he said it was definitely an ale, so I'll take it down to 7. I was about to give Mike a 5, and then I remembered I'm docking him a point for taking too long, so that's a 4.
And Dan gets both bonus points,
all of a sudden
points,
it's
right?
a tie game.
No,
he gets three bonus points.
No, Dan is up. He took a commanding lead in one beer. Dang.
So,
you know, can we talk about IPLs for a second? Have you guys had IPLs before?
I've had one by Yingling, I think.
I forget who I just...
It just seems like a weird, like, trend chasing
thing. It feels like
thing.
It's trying way too hard, is how I would describe it. Because the thing about, like, like, IPAs, I think, have good flavor to them and everything. But I'm surprised that was an IPL because of how bitter it was. IPLs I've had in the past have been, like, a lager with, like, a little bit of a hoppy note to it. So it's like, oh, well, it's, like, a little bit hoppy. That was, like, really hoppy. For it being a lager.
On the other hand, some of the things that you said might happen with the longer lager brewing process, where the flavors kind of blend together, and it's just kind of vaguely crisp, and that's it, that kind of matched our tasting notes, in that we didn't pick out any really interesting or distinct flavors. Yeah. So, that's all right, I have to say.
All right.
Stumped on that one.
I won't recap the score, but I will say it's closer than you think it is. On to beer 5. Welcome to beer number 5. I would describe this pretty much the same way I described the last one. I might say it has even less head. Tasting glasses are in the hands of the competitors. Dan is ready to make his opening remarks.
I have opinions on this one. You better hurry up because I dock you points.
Yeah. I can't think of the name of this style. And at first I sipped it, I was like, this is kind of boring, and then bam, the back tongue it's a style, and it's going to come to me in a minute, but...
That back tongue.
What the hell do you call it? What is it called again? What tastes, like, later in the...
Yeah, aftertaste?
Yeah, sure, the aftertaste. The back tongue. Okay.
The back... No, you know, BU, right? You want to call it a back tongue, it's a back tongue.
Okay, fine.
So how's the back tongue doing?
It's zingy. There's a... It's not floral, but it's, man, I'm going to go weird on this, and I'm going to say that it's, they're going to call it like a white IPA or something like that.
I have no idea what the actual style of this is, but I'll tell you what. I get a lot of the Belgian-style sweetness coming through in the tasting. I do. I'm not going to call it a triple, but I'm going to say you do get some Belgian-style
There is a little sweetness. Bit of that. Yeah, there's some sweetness.
And I also kind of get some, like, some toasted malt, which makes no sense considering the color of the beer.
Yeah.
So that was kind of blowing my mind when I said, like, I had opinions on this. I think it's just crazy how this beer tastes kind of for how it looks.
Right.
So the number one thing I picked up is, like, the Belgian-style sweetness.
Yeah, there's a little bit of that, but it's not super Belgian.
And no, it's not. Especially it doesn't have the fragrance that a typical Belgian-style ale
has. That was
what
I was looking for when I was really, after I tasted it, I was trying to smell it and see if that was there. But, yeah, some sort of, like, I don't know, I've had white ales before. There's something maybe a little citrusy about it, too.
Like the Allagash White, which is I think is a white ale. That's why they call it Allagash White, sure. Right? That's I believe that's a Belgian-style type of ale, is the white ale, at least for Allagash. Uh-huh. I don't know much about the style of white ale. Mm-hmm. But I know Allagash does a ton of Belgian-style beers. And they have, one of their, like, most famous beers is the Allagash White. Like, you can find that all over the place. And that is, I would assume, a white ale. So maybe there's a little bit of boothiness going on.
Maybe the zingy back tongue that I was really tasting there was the something Belgian and sweet in it, like you were saying.
Zingy back tongue. Dan Stallcups, 2016.
Dude, yeah, put a trademark on that. Get on some t-shirts.
So I'm curious now. I want to see. I'm going to tell you, because I love the Allagash White. I love that beer. I want to tell you guys about white beer and see if it makes you feel more or less that's what this is. So there's a subtle distinction between white ales and wit beers. W-I-T, wit. White ales tend to be a wheat-based ale. Basically, white ale and wheat ale are pretty closely interchangeable. And part of the reason for that is in Germany, they are called Weissbier in the north and Weizenbier in the south for the same beers. And what those mean in German are white beer and wheat beer. So that's the same thing. A wit beer is a Belgian style, which is white beer that has citrus notes. A wit beer is properly served with, like, an orange or a lemon or something. I want to say orange. Like, Blue Moon is a wit.
Yeah.
I was going to say that it reminds, actually, like, of the cheap beers you can drink, this actually kind of reminds me of Blue Moon.
Does it really?
A little bit, but it's, like, it's thicker than that, the mouthfeel is, and the way it lingers on your tongue is it's not blue, it's not a Blue Moon, but I would say the one that you said where it's a little bit Belgian.
Right. Not a wheat beer, like, I wouldn't call
it's
this
not
a wheat beer.
Straight
so, right,
beer.
So I would go the alternative. I just realized you have, like, a cat on your t-shirt hanging out under a mountain.
No, it's a wave.
Lasers.
He's a surfing cat with lasers.
Is there, like, a backstory to this
My
cat?
In-laws got me this shirt. That's
are
the story
kidding?
Behind
Do
it.
Your in-laws hate you?
It's a great shirt. What are you talking about?
Well, I'm just, like, what was the context for it? Was it, like, you know, like, this is going to be an awesome shirt that Dan can wear at a beer cast? Or was it, like, a Christmas gift where, like, we want to get him what we think is the worst shirt
in the
store?
Nah, the former. I like my in-laws.
Okay, well, I mean, yeah, this is recorded, so you have to say that. But I what's the full story? When did they get you that shirt?
There is literally no more story than they got me a shirt because they thought it was funny and they think I like funny things. Like, that's the extent of the
story.
That's
good. That's good. That means they don't hate you.
Yeah.
Okay. Sorry, back to the beer cast. But, I mean, dude, he has a freaking cat surfing with lasers.
Yeah, but why did it
eyes.
Take you 80% of the beer cast
we're
to realize
I'm
that?
Focused on the beers. I'm looking at your, like, fucking t-shirt, dude. Like,
okay.
All right, anyway, sorry.
I've decided that the t-shirt does not merit any pluses or minuses to either player's score. Dan?
Yeah?
ABV and IBU may earn you pluses.
So just the ABV, or are we going to go back and forth?
ABV first.
Okay. Man, I don't know. I will go 7.2 on the ABV.
I mean, I could be a jerk here, but I'll be respectable.
6.5.
IBU, it's low. I mean, it's not Then again, I was way off on the dark beer. Let's say 28.
Well, I was going to say 30, so I'm going to stick with that.
All right. This is a good wild card. I like this a lot because it was possible but very unlikely that one of you had had a beer like this before. And if you hadn't, which basically none of us had, there was no way you were going to hit this one.
Oh, God.
And so everything you said was, like, completely unrelated.
Okay.
Okay, so this is from Devil's Backbone and Thunder Road. This is their Double Pacific Ale.
What does that
Let me
even
tell you
mean?
About it. 8.4 ABV.
Whoa.
50 IBU.
So you,
that's a point for each of you.
Yeah.
A strong Australian-style ale. Pacific Ale is an emerging style that uses fruitier hops grown in Australia and New Zealand. For this, the U.S. team used Aussie Galaxy hops and a combination of malts for smooth tropical notes.
That explains the sweetness
yeah,
of everything.
Yeah, we did call yep. the citrusiness yep, there and the sweetness did. That was, I guess, carried over. But we knew it wasn't like an ordinary sweetness. There was something weird
right.
with the sweetness.
So I take from your comments that no one has had a beer that tastes quite like this
nope.
before. Because you were hunting for what style it could be. And, hey, I thought it would be pretty funny if one of you like came out and was like, no, this is what I taste. But nobody went out on a limb, maybe for the best, because any limb would have been
yeah.
wrong.
I'm gonna...
Nobody was going to say, Australian hops, that's what it is.
Mike, you're a resident terrapin expert. One time you got me a four-pack of...
the high, high Five IPA?
Yeah, so isn't that, like, isn't that, don't they call it a Pacific IPA or something
yeah,
like that?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's like a West Coast style, but I think that's different than what we're talking
so
about
So Pacific,
here.
It's, okay. So
Pacific
that's like
Ocean,
IPA,
turns out, touches
right.
both the West Coast
and
Australia.
Australia. Okay.
Yeah.
I follow.
This is interesting, because the fruitiness is the key to it. Like, it's that sweetness, I think. You know, I'm going to be honest, I don't think we were that far off. Like, we never committed, like, Pac committed to a style when we were that crazy. We said it was, like, an ale, and we were, like, kind of all around it. But, yeah, we've never tried something like that. So it's hard to say, like, this is a Pacific style, blah, 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 when you've never had a beer like that to even
we hit some of the We hit some of the points, and I did incorrectly call it a white whatever. I don't even still know what that means.
Well,
but.
It's fruity, and the only notes that they give here in terms of, like, flavor profile is smooth and tropical. They didn't give us a whole lot of keywords to go off
yeah.
for me to say if you were right or wrong. I feel the fair thing to do is to award 6 points to each of you. Does that sit well?
That sounds respectable.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, there's one beer left.
Uh-oh. I don't need to step my game up.
Down to the wire.
And now, the last beer, number 6 out of 6. This looks different from anything we've had so far. It's maybe a little bit reddish, but mostly brown. It's hard to see through, but you can. Yeah, I don't know what else to say. Maybe it's just the tasting glasses, but not a lot has seemed to have head holding up today. Mike will have first go
no.
on this one.
Dan will have
no.
first, yeah.
I went first, third, and fifth. It's your turn, right?
I believe it's Mike's turn.
Is it really? Oh, okay, cool.
I believe it is. So as soon as he has had a smell and a taste, he can cover the aroma, mouthfeel, taste, and...
Well, yeah, I mean, this one's scrumptious. I mean, I think this one's, like, delicious as far as the beer goes. Not much aroma at all on it. The forward flavor, more than anything, is the toasted malt. I mean, you really get that. As far as what, like style you would put it as, I mean, I guess I would call it a stout. It's a little bit translucent for really being, like, a stout. It's not as dark and opaque as the one we had before. But, I mean, it has that coffee-toasted malt flavor that you usually associate with a stout and everything. I think that's definitely the primary note here. Let me take another swig.
So We've been tricked in the past. I don't remember who was serving it, but with like a something that appears to be a stout or a porter or whatever, and is in fact a something funky like a
red ale, or whatever,
or a black IPA or
black
something
IPA.
Like that.
Shit, this could be a black IPA. Oh man, I kind of just lost the game right there. I don't know. That's interesting because the coloring of it is just so not stout-like is what the problem is.
But the flavor, I mean, I don't know if they call it a stout or not, but it is very stout-flavored.
Could be a blend.
It's like, I mean, you're right. You actually hit the thing that I was, that this just tastes like they just toasted the hell out of the malt that was made.
I mean, it tastes like if you were designing a stout and it was going to taste like a stout, like this is what that would taste like. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I mean, that's just my opinion on it, but
I could go for it being some sort of funky non-stout, like, I don't know if it's a black IPA, but like something that...
a blend of some sort.
Something that is feels tastes like a stout, but
had,
it's not actually...
I've had black IPAs before. Like, I've had the Midnight Monk by Terrapin, which is... that's actually a Belgian-style black IPA, but usually with a black IPA, you at least still get some of the hoppiness. This doesn't have any hoppiness.
No, it has a little. You don't think it is? I think on the... What did I call it? The back
the
tongue?
Back tongue.
The zingy back tongue. There's a little bit of hoppiness there. It's not super pronounced, but it's there. I'm not saying it is a black... because I'm going to say, oh, it's a black IPA, and then all of a sudden, hey, you just tasted a generic.
I completely disagree. I actually don't think there's almost any hoppiness that comes through. There's a little bit of bitterness, which you associate with the hops, for sure. So, I mean, I guess you could call it that, but, like, in terms of hop flavor and being hop forward at all, I would say it is just overwhelmingly malt forward, and you don't get, like, almost any hoppiness to come through.
That last sip, I definitely didn't taste it as much as I remembered from my first couple, but... yeah, you're right that it's definitely not overwhelmingly hoppy, which makes me think it's not a funky black IPA or something.
Could be though, because the thing is, it doesn't look that much like a stout, right?
It's
the reddish
weird
flavor of the reddish.
It's like
appearance.
Caramel colored. It's super brown with like just a tiny hint of red. It's not quite dark enough to be what I would normally
associate.
No, exactly.
It's not as opaque as it should be. It's a little bit too translucent to be a stout, which is
and
wild.
The bubbles are super light. I mean, I'm trying to think if I have any other... to me, the flavor that I got was caramel.
Yeah, that. Mm-hmm. All right.
Okay. So, without any further ceremony, ABV.
Oh, shit. I should save some for the end here. I don't really remember what it tastes like. I'll go ahead and say 7.5%.
That's exactly what I was going to say, but if I have to, I'll go lower. I'll go 7.2%.
0.2. And the IBUs?
I'll go with 25.
Come around on my statement that it's a little bit hoppy on the back end of the sip. So sorry, what did you say?
I said 25.
25. I will go 35.
Okay. So this one, which I liked a lot, I have to say,
scrumptious,
from Devil's Backbone and Surly Brewing Company. The beer is called Risen. It is 8.4%, point to Mike. It is 50 IBUs, point to Dan. And that I thought that
hoppiness
was interesting, because you guys were talking about hoppiness, and you know there's a distinction between hoppiness and bitterness, because
hops
have more... So I was trying to discern whether you guys were saying it was bitter, or whether you were saying it was floral or not, and the IBUs are definitely higher than you thought by a bit.
Not that. Well,
not that much.
It was close.
Only so, double what you said, Mike.
Here's something...
The way that's... whatever.
Here's something I've never said out loud before. This was a double brown ale.
Double brown ale.
They say a coffee and oak double brown ale. This lavish brown ale was brewed with over 100 pounds of locally roasted coffee.
I mean, we nailed that.
And was rested on oak for a toasted finish with extra complexity. Oh. You guys couldn't find brown ale. We were talking like stout. We were like, is it a black IPA? No. No.
I did say I thought it was... I would be open to it being something weird that's not a stout.
Double
it didn't taste
ale.
Really IPA-ish.
It's funny because it's a little bit darker than a normal brown ale. I think that's the throw-off, because it's the double.
That's the
and
double.
That's why, there.
I was going to say... this is a little too sweet to be a stout. unless it were like a milk stout, and it's a little too bitter to be a milk stout. So it was
also it doesn't look like a milk stout.
It doesn't look like a milk stout. You're right. It's lighter than that. So I don't know. I feel like you guys both did pretty well here, and I'm happy to award about 7 points apiece. But I didn't hear anything that was really strong, correct or incorrect.
Yeah.
So I think I'm just going to give it 7 points apiece. Each got one bonus point. And if you want to hit the pause, I'll tally it up. Off microphone, the contestants, without hearing the final score officially announced, agreed to an additional bonus beer on the scorecard. Now, they could have said no, we could have stopped at six, but bonus beers are pretty much in our blood at this point. And I found one in my fridge that should provide an opportunity for some wild guesses. Right. It is a cloudy and...
I already got double barrels loaded.
Oh, man.
No, I'm just kidding.
He's ready. Okay. It's a cloudy beer. It's on the pale side, maybe a little bit reddish away from golden. This one is going on the scorecard for sure, with ABV and IBU ready. It would be to Dan, and I'll give him first opportunity, although Mike sounds like he's reeling.
I'm just kidding. I'm ready. It's not super sour, but it's definitely sour.
Yep.
That scent, man. I think that's what comes... I was like, what is this scent? I think it's what comes with the wild... Aren't you supposed to use wild yeast when you make sours or something? But it's... I think that's what I'm smelling. It's good. I like sour beers in general. Let's see. I don't... Because lambics are supposed to be reminiscent of a specific fruit or something like that? Or am I misremembering how lambics work? I'm not picking up a specific fruit. It's kind of orangey, but it's also... I'm going to need to take a couple more sips before I commit to anything. I don't think it's a lambic. It's not quite what I think of the lambic taste to be.
I was going to say it was a lambic.
Really?
Yep. That was my initial... I first smelled it and then tasted it. It wasn't quite sour enough for me to say this is a lambic for sure. But that was basically the style I hit. I mean, you hit most of the notes that I would say. If I were to pick a fruit specifically, I would... And this is a repeat from earlier, so maybe I've just like got this on the mind for some reason. But I would have said raspberry. That is the flavor I pick up the most, and it's like a, kind of like a red fruit sort of flavor to it. I think it's really good. I also get a little bit of blueberry, so like I don't know if that's way off or something like that. But those were the two kind of flavor notes that I picked up tasting this thing. I think it's interesting because it's not that sour. It's a hint of sourness.
Yeah.
Which is different than lambics we've had on the beer cast before and others just like sour beers in general that you drink. It's only got like a little bit of a tang to it. So maybe it's a, I don't know, maybe it's off style a little bit. Maybe it's got something else going on. But I don't know. I think it's actually really good because it's not as sour as a normal sour beer. It's got just enough of that sour note to keep you interested. It's exceptionally drinkable. I actually like love this beer.
Yeah. I want one more sip of it to see if I can figure out the fruit, if there's another fruit it reminds me of. But it is a... It's definitely a little bit sour. It's definitely tasty. I definitely want another sip of... Another glass of this once we're done here.
Now, Colton and I are all done, man. We just drank that guy up.
Quick point of order. The IBUs for this beer were not listed on the brewer's website, and... The distributor's website listed it at 50 IBUs.
Nope.
I don't believe that.
Nope.
So I am not going to have an IBU vote for this.
There's not a chance it's 50
not, yeah.
IBUs.
Yeah.
It's probably around 10. Yeah, right?
Yeah. That was my feeling. So we're not guessing IBUs for this.
I'm pretty sure they have a default 50 listed in their system and they just didn't scratch it out or something
right.
like that. Anyway, so we're going to say...
I like your thought that it reminds you of a dark berry. I was going to say strawberry, but it reminds me of a like a kind of a full-bodied berry type of taste.
Yeah.
So, without being overly sour, this is a tasty one.
What else? What else you guys got for me?
I mean, I'm out of beer. Got any more left? Or is that the whole glass?
Do you guys... I'll tip you off a little more.
I mean, I need like some reinforcements here.
God, I'm struggling because it reminds me of something, and I'm trying to come up with what that is.
Pacing himself than I did on this one.
Trying to cover the label with my hand here while I offer a little bit extra.
You can give me a little bit. Maybe it's cherry? It's something.
It could be cherry. You might have
to actually, all of a sudden, cherry. I'm going to have another sip.
Yeah, is it like dark red fruit from the beginning? And like, I think cherry is right up that alley. I don't know why I didn't think of that. I think it might be cherry.
Okay. Give me the ABV.
Dude, are sours usually alcoholic or not? I don't remember.
I'm not telling you.
Okay. I will go 6.2.
Okay, so I have to just be going for my best interest here. So I'm going to say 6.1. And it's definitely under a 6.2.
Okay.
In fact, it's probably like closer to like a 3.8 or 3.5 or something.
It's a 6.0.
Oh, no way! Really?
6.0.
Oh, that was a freaking miracle.
And the fact that it is 6.0 in alcohol makes me wonder if there's a way that it could be 50 IBUs, but no. No. This is from Dogfish Head.
Really? I love Dogfish Head.
A brewery you guys know well. There's no way you've had this before because it's a gluten-free beer. And why would you pay money for gluten-free beer?
This is blowing my mind. We were probably so far off.
So, there is a fruit that they literally just put right in the beer. There's one fruit that they put in the beer, and one of you said it.
Oh, it's cherry, and he fucking got it.
Strawberry.
Yeah!
Damn it!
This is Dogfish Head's Tweezenale. It is gluten-free because instead of barley, they use sorghum. It is a sorghum ale brewed with strawberries and buckwheat honey.
Well, they can go straight to hell. Sorry.
Buckwheat honey.
Buckwheat honey. So nobody called honey. You guys were both all like, red fruit, dark fruit, dark red fruit?
I said fruit the strawberry. And raspberry, and then Dan came back immediately and said strawberry.
Dang out to strawberry. Yep. So I think you guys both knew, because you're game players, and you're mildly keeping count in your heads. Dan had a lead of 1 point coming into this. Without even awarding specific scores, I think Dan wins this beer cast.
And he does.
Because he's going to beat you by at least 2 on the notes, and you got the +1 for ABV. So, Dan is the winner today. This beer that you guys both loved is not a sour in the sense of wild yeast fermentation. It is not a sour. It's just real sweet because it's got honey and it's got strawberries right in it.
But it's also sour.
It does have a little bit.
This is what blows my mind about this, right? It had the tang of a sour beer. Nothing about strawberries or honey is sour. So where does the sour come from?
Maybe we just mistake the sweetness for sour.
Oh, man, like, try that last little sip you got. It's definitely got a little bit of sour in it, doesn't it? It does have that tang. Am I wrong?
I don't think you're wrong. I think it has, and you guys identified it as, like, mildly sour. You're like, it's not as much as a usual sour beer. And I think that that's coming from the strawberry. Okay. I do. I think that the strawberry, it's not that it's wild yeast fermented, but strawberry being fermented with any yeast is going to get a little sour.
Yeah.
There you go.
I buy it.
Good beer cast, gentlemen. Dan wins this one. Mike can file his formal complaints if he wants.
I have no formal protests. I thought this was well adjudicated. There was one beer where I let myself down.
It was the Session IPL.
I just got
that Dan got way out ahead.
I got freaking freight trained on that beer.
Because I called out the O, dude. You gotta roll the dice.
Yeah, and Mike had mild advantages on some of the other beers, but...
Yeah.
Yeah, no, actually, looking back, Mike won 2 of the beers, just in terms of tasting notes, and Dan won 2 of the beers, basically. And you guys were more or less tied outside of that. And Dan won by larger margins, so I don't know.
It's a tight beer cast.
We're pretty good. I mean, in keeping it pretty even.
If we were to compare this beer cast or like, our inaugural beer cast, it'd probably...
We have no idea. We're like, what is an ale?
So, Colton, can you explain to us the processes of a lager?
Yeah.
Alright.
Well done.
Well done, Colton. The adventure pack from Devil's Backbone.
From Devil's Backbone.
Even if they are sellouts.
May
now,
they rest in peace.
I don't know. Everybody does that, though.
Yeah.
Lagunitas did it.
Alright, well, I guess this was a good beer cast, and we'll have to have maybe a little more once we turn the mic off, but adios from Dan.
And Mike.
And Colton.
Have a good one, everyone. And I know that.